Looking for a fun way to win 25 times your money this football and basketball season? Test your skills on Prize Picks, the most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. Just select two or more players, pick more or less on their projection for a wide variety of stats, and place your entry. It's as easy as that. If you have the skills, you can turn $10 into $250 with just a few taps. Easy gameplay, quick withdrawals, and injury insurance on your picks are what make Prize Picks the number one daily fantasy sports app. Ready to test your skills? Join the Prize Picks community of more than 7 million players who have already signed up. Right now, Prize Picks will match your first deposit up to $100. Just visit prizepicks.com/play100 and use code play100. That's code play100 at prizepicks.com/play100 for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks, daily fantasy sports made easy.
It is SNY.TV's The Juice on the Cuse podcast, covering Syracuse basketball, lacrosse, and football.
Today on The Juice on the Cuse podcast on SNY.TV, we'll be talking about the 2017 basketball class and a second win in a row for the football team. I'm Wes Chang, and I'll be joined later by Brad Bierman, and our guest today is Scout.com's Mike McAllister. Mike, it's a pleasure to have you back on the program.
I'm happy to be here. Always a good time to be on.
Mike, we will get you started on this one. Syracuse has been after point guard Quade Green since the beginning of his recruitment. Is the Orange the favorite to land him?
I think they are. I consider them the favorite for Quade at this point. He's taken a couple of official visits, including Kentucky. I think they're the only school right now that could prohibit Quade from coming to Syracuse. But he took his official visit over this past weekend with Orange Madness and got to check that out. Spent, you know, the weekend with the Syracuse coaches and players. I think everything seems to be pointing in a positive direction from a Syracuse standpoint there. Kentucky has been going after another five-star point guard with Trey Young, and he's kind of the guy that they've been prioritizing. Now, my understanding is that Kentucky does want both guys, but they're not going to the same school. They want to go to a place where they're clearly the guy, and that's what Quade would be with Syracuse. That's what Trey Young would be at Kentucky. My gut feeling is, and based on the things that I'm hearing and who I talk to, is that the scenario where Trey Young goes to Kentucky, Quade Green goes to Syracuse. So if you're a Syracuse fan, root for Trey Young to go to Kentucky for everything to look positive on that front. And then basically you're the only school left for Quade. They've been recruiting him for well over 2 years. They put in a lot of time and effort with him. They specifically told the top 100 four-star point guard Matt Coleman, who's from Oak Hill Academy, who Syracuse fans will know well, the school that produced Carmelo Anthony. They specifically told him, we're focusing on Quade Green, so we're going to back off recruiting you. You don't tell a kid that's that talented, that good, you know, he's a top 50 player on Scout, rated very highly in all the recruiting services. You don't tell a player that's that good, that talented, that you are no longer recruiting him unless you feel really good about where you stand with Quade. So I think that tells you a lot about how Syracuse feels about things, and as of right now, I still consider them the favorite for him.
Mike, speaking of Oak Hill Academy, Syracuse is now in the mix for big man Billy Preston. Where does the Orange stand with him?
Yeah, interesting little recruitment here. He went to a prep school, I believe, in Texas, and that school got into some trouble because of the way that they were conducting some things. There were some concerns about people that went there and then whether or not they'd become eligible. And so Billy Preston ends up transferring to Oak Hill to get his academics back in order, reopened his recruitment because he was down to a couple of schools, and Syracuse is one of the schools that got back involved with him. He is a big-time, top 10, top 15 type of a player in the entire class. Five-star prospect, 6'10", can do a little bit of everything. You know, he can hit the mid-range jumper, he can run the floor, super athletic, really long, great frame, looks like a Syracuse prototypical forward. He's got really nice footwork, good defensive instincts, physical on the glass. He's everything you want in a power forward. If that recruitment goes on a little bit longer, Syracuse has a chance to make up some ground there, and then maybe some of those other schools are willing to wait, and they actually fill up in a couple of their forward spots, and so then Syracuse can make an even bigger impression kind of by default. So I think Syracuse fans should root for Preston's recruitment to dry on a little bit because that gives Syracuse fans, I think, a bigger chance of landing him down the road.
Mike, a couple other names that have come up recently, Baramba, Sidibe, and O'Shea Brissett. It seems like Syracuse is the favorite for O'Shea Brissett right now.
I think Syracuse is the favorite for O'Shea Brissett as well. His recruitment was flying under the radar for sure and has started picking up, as you mentioned. Mainly started picking up, I think, in terms of media catching on to how much of a priority he is for Syracuse. My understanding is he's been a priority for Syracuse for some time, and they've been recruiting him very, very hard, but he's maybe not as highly rated as some of the other prospects. Part of that is because he's in Canada and maybe doesn't have the same type of exposure. Well, he is a prototypical Syracuse forward. He's about 6'9", long and lean. His range extends up to the three-point line. He really runs the floor well. He's good off the dribble. He's a guy that kind of reminds you of a Chris Joseph type, but I think his jumper has much more potential than Chris Joseph did. I know towards the end of his career he was solid with his outside jumper, but I think his outside jumper, if he continues to develop at a high rate, could look more like a James Sutherland type of accuracy from beyond the arc. So he's actually someone that I think would fit in with Syracuse well. Might be a 3 or 4 year guy, but someone that contributes for multiple years. And Syracuse has continued to recruit him hard. Just took his official visit the same weekend as Quad A did. It went very, very well. I still think Syracuse is the favorite for him, but there's some other schools involved, like the Oklahomas and some other schools, but there's really not a school involved with O'Shea Brissett that is a quote-unquote better program than Syracuse. You look at a guy like Quade, and he's got a Kentucky after him. You look at a guy like Billy Preston, he's got Kansas and Indiana, some schools that you could say are maybe a slight tick above Syracuse, or at least right on the same playing field, whereas the other schools after O'Shea are maybe a step below what the Syracuse basketball program is in terms of the national landscape, and I think that gives them a leg up there. As far as Barama Sidibe, who you mentioned, he is a center prospect from New Jersey, four-star type of a kid, 6'10"-ish, and he's someone I think that Syracuse has a pretty good shot to land. His recruitment seems to be going a little bit slower, but he's supposed to be taking his official visit in November, and I think that will go a long way towards where Syracuse stands with him. He seems to be a guy that, as five-star center Nick Richards has seemed to be leaning more and more towards Kentucky, that Syracuse's interest and recruitment of Sidibe has picked up a little bit. So I think he's a guy that, as Syracuse sees Nick Richards looking elsewhere, that they prioritize as a guy that, all right, we didn't get that guy, but we can still bring this guy in. He's still pretty darn good, so we're in pretty good shape there. I think Syracuse will end up landing Brissett. With Sidibe, I think it's still a little bit too early to tell, but we'll know more after he takes his official.
Mike, we will get you out of here on this one. The 2017 class still doesn't have a commitment yet. When is it coming, and should Syracuse fans be worried this late in the game? Talk some people off the ledge.
It's rare that you get this deep into a recruiting cycle and Syracuse basketball doesn't at least have a commitment at this point. So I understand why Syracuse fans have some angst and why there's some concern. And, you know, what happens if they don't get Quade Green? What happens if they miss on Quade Green and O'Shea Brissett and Billy Preston? Then what do you do? Syracuse recruiting will be just fine. They always land elite prospects. They will continue to land elite prospects. I wouldn't be concerned just yet. I think if you get through the early signing period and nobody has committed / signed with Syracuse, most notably Quade Green by that point, that's when I think a red flag should go up. Everything points to Quade Green making a decision and signing during the early period. He has said that. That's the impression I get from people that I talk to, from talking to sources. If you get through the early signing period, Quade Green has not committed to or signed with any school, especially Syracuse, there's a red flag. And then if you don't have a decision from other prospects like O'Shea Brissett, et cetera, and Syracuse is still sitting at zero commitments, I think absolutely Syracuse fans would have every right to be very concerned about what's going on with the 2017 class. But as we sit right now, I don't think that's the case. And I think after the early signing period has come and gone, Syracuse will have at least one or two commitments on board. And then Syracuse fans can breathe and start focusing on the very, very, very good team that they're going to be able to put on the floor this year.
Mike, thank you so much for coming back on the program. Again, Mike McAllister from Scout.com and CuseNation.com, quite simply the best source for recruiting information for Syracuse fans. Mike, thank you so much again. We'll talk soon.
I appreciate it, Wes. Always a good time.
Amazing stuff from our friend Mike McAllister. Be sure to check out more on CuseNation.com. And I'm now joined over the phone by the Juice Online editor-in-chief and my very good friend, Brad Bierman. Brad, how are you today?
I'm doing well, Wes. Thank you.
Brad, Syracuse winning its second straight ACC game with a 28-20 road win at Boston College on Saturday. It was a sloppy win, but a win is a win is a win in the ACC, right?
That's right, Wes, because this was only the second time Syracuse has won back-to-back ACC games. First time it happened in the first season back in 13. They beat Wake Forest in Maryland, and now wins over Virginia Tech and Boston College. And, Wes, I really think despite the sloppy play, despite the lack of discipline, the false start penalties, some of the penalties that made us pull our hair out the last 10 years or so for past Syracuse teams, despite all of that, the difference about this team is you know they have a chance to score at almost any time to make up for those deficits or problems or penalties, and that's really one difference about this team. They can score almost any time, and that makes it exciting.
Definitely exciting, Brad, especially with Eric Dungy throwing for 434 yards and 3 touchdowns. And he really spread the ball around to Edetawo, Ishmael, Esteem, Phillips. It really looks like Syracuse is grasping the offense, and it did it against one of the better defenses in the ACC.
Don't you think that, you know, when Dino Babers came back aboard in December and go through winter workouts, Eric Dungy must have been the happiest athlete on the Syracuse campus, because as Babers and his offensive staff were explaining this offense to him, as each month goes by, then they get into spring practice. Then he has the ability to work out all summer with his receivers. And here comes a guy like Edetau as a Maryland graduate transfer. I can think he's seeing it all come together through all that practice in the summer and then into live game action. I just think that he is just, you know, developing into such a great quarterback for this offense, grasping it, understanding. He's an intelligent player, and he has just such great coaches around him that I think are just getting more and more of the offense to him as each week goes by.
And Brad, the defense is coming along too. They really only allowed one botch coverage on a Patrick Bowles sneak, but other than that, was it bad Boston College offense or was it great defense?
Well, it's not a great Boston College offense, but still, it's an ACC offense, and they have, you know, certainly the starting 11 are talented players, and they have a couple of pretty good speed position players on BC, but it's not one of the better ones, certainly, in the ACC. But no, this is a Syracuse defense learning again as each week goes by, and I think you, again, have to start with Babers, his leadership, the coordinators, as they're teaching more and more of the Tampa 2 on that side of the ball. And these young players are good. I mean, we've all been impressed with the recruiting the last couple of years. So these young athletes are getting better. And as they get game experience now in the ACC, we're seeing results here with a 500 record at the end of October. And I'll make that side note, Wes. You know, I did predict 4-4 back in the preseason.
Yes, you did.
I only had a mix-up on the BC and Wake Forest games, but I did have a 35-30 win over Virginia Tech. So I'm sitting at 4-4, 2-2, just where I thought the Orangemen would be going into the break here on Halloween weekend.
So, Brad, you're right. Syracuse 4-4 going into that Halloween weekend, but there's still 4 games left to play. Clemson, NC State, FSU, and Pitt. I see 5 wins here with NC State coming at home. Do you agree?
I do, and that's what I had written in the summer, that Syracuse would lose to Clemson and Florida State, beat North Carolina, and then it would come down to the regular season finale at Pittsburgh. Syracuse has only won one game at Heinz Field, that in 2001, the first time they played there. They've only won 3 of the past 15 games against Pittsburgh. So you would not think that would look good if they are 5-7, excuse me, if they were 5-6 going into that final game to try to get to 6-6 for a bowl. But hey, at this point, Wes, with how this team has performed, I'm not going to put anything beyond that.
Brad, we are right at the end of our show. Your closing thoughts.
And to segue to that point, 2 more home games for this football team. I know we're all excited about basketball and what the season upcoming is going to be for Jim Boeheim and the talented Orange roster, but let's give this football team some love. Let's see how many folks we can get in for the final 2 home games against NC State and Florida State in November, and then we'll enjoy basketball, Wes.
And Brad, my closing thoughts are on an interesting stat from ESPN's David Hale. In the past decade, five Power 5 quarterbacks have thrown for 400 yards, rushed for 50 yards, thrown three touchdown passes, and averaged 11 yards per throw. That list: Boykin, Menzel, RG3, Ryan Tannehill, and now Eric Dungy. Congratulations to Dungy for that. That is a remarkable feat.
Absolutely. Look, I'm looking forward to Tommy DeVito like any Orange football fan, the future recruit. But let's thank our lucky stars. We have Eric Dungy running this Syracuse offense right now.
That's it for us. For Brad Bierman, this is Wes Chang reminding you that my fake plants died because I didn't pretend to water them. You've been listening to the Juice on the Cuse podcast on SNY.TV, and we'll see you next time.
This has been the Juice on the Cuse podcast, part of the SNY.TV audio network.